Hello, listener, and welcome to this preview of our latest Patreon-exclusive episode. To continue the conversation and listen to the full episode, head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. The link is in the show notes. Hello, patrons, and welcome to this patron-exclusive episode of Beyond the Screenplay. Today, we are talking about Dazed and Confused, written and directed by Richard Linklater, the 1993 film. I am, of course, joined by the Beyond the Screenplay team, Trisha Arand.
Hello, everyone.
Brian Bittner.
All right, all right, all right.
All right. And Alex.
Hi.
Excellent. Okay, so really quick business before we jump in. The next season of our podcast, we will be announcing next month. So stay tuned. More on that to come. We haven't forgotten about you. Hope everyone's having a pleasant August and aren't having hurricanes and earthquakes in the same day. Some of us are.
We are okay, Michael. Yeah.
It wasn't that bad in LA.
It was totally fine. It was just like...
LA had slightly not sunny weather for like 24 hours and we all freaked out.
Yeah. Right.
It would have been totally boring if they didn't like throw in the earthquake curveball. Spice on top. Okay, so Dazed and Confused won our back to school vote, high school movies. And I'd never seen this movie. I'd seen parts of it. I knew little things about it. But my link later filmography is pretty focused on the Before trilogy. I wasn't quite sure. I guess I generally knew what to expect, but wasn't sure what I would make of it. And the arc of this movie was it started kind of bumpy for me. I was sort of in this like place of God, being a teenager in this place and this time is hell on earth. Why did humanity even try to keep going if this is what existence was? If at any moment someone had walked in and been like, do you like this movie? I think I would have been like, I don't know that I do, random person. I don't know that I do.
Please get out of my house.
And then the credits rolled and I was like, I like that movie. That was a good movie. So there's something magical and mysterious happening within the walls of this film that feels, I guess, Linklater-y, and that like somehow the sum of all these parts added up to something so much more than any given moment seemed to be for me. So that was kind of my experience as a newcomer and as a Michael reacting to Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, I was very curious because I was thinking, I feel like a few months ago, I would have just been like, no, it's too like high school idiot, like idiots running around, you know, throwing beer at each other kind of movie. Right. And then I was like, but there's like this Linklater kind of magic to it. And then, you know, in the past few months, we watched Almost Famous and The Breakfast Club, and like, Michael, you love Breakfast Club. And I was like, there's kind of a similar thing going on here where there's sort of no plot, but it's just all about who these characters are. And I was like, I don't know. I'm hoping you'll have I was hoping you would have the experience you did, right? Which is like starting out being like, good God, what is this? But then by the end being like, oh, they did all the things. So I'm happy to hear that you had that feeling in your gut at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Like to the point where I'm like kind of upset about it, where I'm like, I feel like I was tricked. And I'm like, right. Wait, now I have to be one of the people that say I like Dazed Confused. Like, ugh, okay, fine. Brian, tell me about Dazed and Confused.
Sure. Yeah. I saw this movie for the first time when I was probably about Mitch's age and I was with like my friends who were 3 years older and who were sort of like shepherding me into teenhood from my, you know, wearing whatever my mom dressed me to school days. I liked it right away, but it was sort of like these little scenes my first time through, right? It was like, oh, there's this line and there's this thing and there's whatever. But then watching it again, whenever I watched it again over the next couple of years, then I started to actually like see the story, see the bigger picture of the movie. And then it just pretty quickly became a movie that I loved and would watch all the time. But I still have very, very fond memories. Like I remember exactly where I was when I was probably about 12 or 13 watching it for the first time. And the cool thing about this movie, and I think about all movies that are set in a certain place, time and place that are done well, is I didn't, at that age, I definitely didn't know anything about drug culture or sex or having people to hang out with, even barely. But like, I certainly didn't know anything about the 70s or high school or any of that kind of stuff, or Austin. And I didn't feel alienated by any of that. Right. Mm. And I feel like this movie is not in any way trying to only be for people who were there in this specific place at this specific time. It just feels like this really universal movie. And as Trisha said, I think in our Moonlight episode, you know, specificity breeds universality, right? Like, the more specific you are sometimes to the story, the more that it can kind of feel like it is everybody's story in this weird but very cool way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very true of this movie. I agree. Alex, what about you? Tell me about Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. I only seen it once before watching it for this podcast, and I'm almost confident that our mutual friend Ryan McDuffie was the one that insisted I watch it, probably while we were roommates living in Hollywood. And I do remember watching it for the first time and just like kind of deep into the early like hazing, you know, montages or whatnot, yeah. You know, just the paddles. And I was like, what? Like, what is this movie? It's just going to be like this for like a long time. And just kind of being a little bit irritated by like, I just wasn't, yeah, kind of like you, Michael, I wasn't really nostalgic for whatever these days were. And so it was kind of, I wasn't really like loving marinating in that kind of first, you know, third of the movie. But once the night gets going, once everybody kind of gets to their respective cars and like there's kind of a montage that kind of kicks off the night, then it kind of went into that Linklater zone where people are having conversations and you kind of just feel like time is just happening. Real time is passing. And I got into it in that way, but it was kind of a mixed bag on my first viewing. I liked it a lot more this time rewatching it, and it felt even more kind of cohesive and coherent to me than the first viewing, where by the end it did feel like there was this thematic, you know, through line. And I just really enjoyed just being with all these characters and yeah, like marinating in this time and place with all these actors. And there's so many actors in this movie that went on to have these huge careers. And it's just really fun to get to just be with them and their youth and just kind of hang out in this space with them. And there is some great, you know, I'm also in the Michael camp of the Before trilogy is my Linklater, you know, thing. Like that's what I, you know, and also, you know, Waking Life and some other specific films, but the Before series is really what it's all about for me. And there are some moments in this that hint at him going, you know, going into the Boyhood and Before trilogy places, you know, conversations that are almost just kind of philosophical, or just the way I was with my friends in high school. You know, you just talk about life sometimes, and it's just nice that we have a director that's really good at making movies about those conversations and about people having these conversations, which we do in life sometimes. So yeah, I really appreciated it this time. And it's fun to see also early Linklater being a little more just creatively bold, and there's a little more directorial style and panache coming through in this movie than the kind of more straightforward approach of the Before movies or Boyhood. There's a lot more kinetic energy and fun happening here with the editing and the music. And so I really also appreciated seeing that side of him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to talk about, the style and the filmmaking. Cause I was feeling those things too, where it was like, I can see Before, but also there's something different happening that does feel a little bit, separate from what I associate filmmaking wise with Linklater, having only seen a sliver of his filmography. Trisha, what about you?
Yeah, I've seen this movie quite a few times and I really, really like it. You've talked before, Michael, about how much you like parties in movies and like party scenes and sequences. Mm-hmm. And something about this being so contained on this one night, and there's this like back to, or like, you know, end of school year abandon of like the summer is ahead and like there's going to be a big party to kick off the summer. It has that driving toward this like party thing. And in life, you know, we have these moments where like alchemy somehow magically happens sometimes around a party where like the right collection of like circumstances and personalities come together and you just realize like, man, I'm at a great party right now. And this movie feels like that, where, you know, enough things go wrong, but then like other events, stars align, come together, and then it has this climax, which is at a great party with all the characters that we know at that time. So I'm not surprised that you like this movie, but I'm really happy you like it, Michael. and as someone who loves parties, I also love this movie. there's just this great, you know, it's sort of a character study, but it's really this coming of age sort of story about Mitch in particular, and Pink, I guess, you are the two sort of through line characters that have those dual character arcs. The quarterback, Michael.
Right.
So I can see him looking it up.
My notes. Okay, Pink is okay. That guy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jason London. Yeah.
The guy who has to sign the waiver or whatever.
Yeah, the guy who's supposed to say he's not going to party.
And Mitch is not Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Correct. Little baby freshman Mitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wiley Wiggins.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, but with those characters, you know, you have sort of this turning, like pivotal moment kind of thing in their high school careers that the party scene is driving, or the sort of party evening is driving. And so I think, you know, there's a lot that's actually really conventional in the structure. There's a lot that's unconventional and works really well. But as like an, you know, one night contained sort of ensemble thing, it's probably one of the best out there, and or just like dollar for dollar, one of the most fun. None of us lived through the 70s, so I think the nostalgia thing is not aimed at us, but I think we've all been through, you know, to your point, Brian, about the universality, we've all been through this time in our lives where suddenly like you're having the worst night of your life and then like the right girl smiles at you and you're just like, oh my God, I'm having the best night of my life. Like, this is the most amazing night ever. And I think that that's very relatable, that feeling of, I gotta hate that guy. And, but oh my God, I can't believe I'm at this amazing party with these people and all that stuff. So, what a fantastic movie. What a gift of a film. Thank you, Richard Linklater.
Yeah. But yeah, there's that like time thing also, because like when you're young and you're at one of those parties, it does feel like an entire lifetime plays out in the span of an evening. And so getting to luxuriate in all of that play-by-play in this movie is really great. Okay, cool. Well, yeah, so there's just like, so want to talk about Linklater stuff, just in general, how this sits in his filmography, stylistic things. The sense of time and place, I think, is really interesting. American Graffiti is another movie that came into my head. And so these kind of like up all night movies as a thing, I think, would be really interesting to dive into. And then you guys will have to help me more, because I'm still wrapping my head around the structure of this, because it does just kind of flow and you get swept into it. But like, why do we care? Why do we keep watching? What are the dramatic questions that are there, even if they're hidden under all these layers that pull us deeper in, or sort of all things that I think would be really interesting to dive into?
Hope you enjoyed this preview clip. To continue the conversation and listen to the entire episode, head over to the Beyond the Screenplay Patreon. The link is in the show notes.